this session is by Mario Camero, and doing developmental direction in the Matama language. So I have recently seen a talk from Matama, which would be my first option. I'm looking forward to another one. Mario is a student of the Ohio State University. He has found Matama by himself since about a year and a half work with it. And he says he already edited about 1,500 groups in Matama, so one of the Matama groups according to his output.
So I'm going to be talking about the metaphysics language, and so some of you have already heard about it, and actually the main topic of the talk is not supposed to be about metaphysics itself, but rather some work I've done in doing natural deduction methods. So in MISAR you can use deduction in order to distribute your like existential quantifiers or work with unknown terms and then bring them back into closed form. Well, you can do sort of a similar thing in Hilbert, and I'll show how. So first, what is MetaMath? So MetaMath is a few things. It's a language for writing computer, for writing mathematical proofs, and it's also a program which verifies the proofs. And it's also a library of completed proofs. So there's over 20,000 proofs currently in set.mm, which is the main file which contains VSD set theory based proofs. And so there's some introductory material in set theory, category theory, real analysis, and many other fields. So the conceptual foundations which make MetaMath work is, so first we're going to consider a formal proof here in the sense of what you see in a lot of textbooks, okay? So these are where the formulas, you have a set of variables, you know, labeled V0, V1, or whatever, and you have epsilon, and you have equality, and you have implication, and things like that. So you have formulas which look like this, and you manipulate them using axioms. Now, there are an infinite number of axioms because there's no team. So you have decidable axiom, but you can look at a thing and determine whether it's an axiom. So if you were to use a team, then every axiom would be a substitution instance of just a few axiom schemes. So in MetaMath, we take this one step further. So you have axioms to schemes. Well, you can also have theorem schemes. A theorem scheme is basically a theorem where every step is itself a scheme. It works with metavariables. It produces a meta theorem, which you can then replace those metavariables in the theorem with anything which satisfies the conditions for, you know, being a Wolfram formula or whatever it is. So each step in this proof, here's the proof of the identity. So it proves that phi implies phi. Now phi here is a metavariable ranging over any Wolfram formula. In a formal proof, this might be a proof that V0 is in V1 implies V0 is in V1. Every single step of this would be V0 and V1 replacing phi. And so we have a five-step proof for V0 in V1 implies V0 in V1. And that would be an actual formal proof. So the only step necessary to turn this into an actual formal proof in the sense of a logic textbook would be just to do the substitution for the metadata. Now, MetaMath actually never does this, and that's part of what makes it interesting is that it works exclusively with meta variables. You replace a meta variable with more meta variables. And so it's all working one step above the logical proof. And that's where the meta and meta comes from. So the one-to-one correspondence actually proves it. So the idea is very simple. It's based very much on how logicians how they show what a proof is. And so, especially since the substitutions to be done are actually specified as part of the proof, the verifier is very small. There's a independent verifier which was written in Python, which is only 300 lines, but I think that's quite amazing. And proof verification is incredibly fast also, because the verifier really doesn't have to do anything. It just has to look at the theorem and look at the substitutions which you told it you're going to do and verify that you have in fact applied the theorem correctly. So it can verify all of those 20,000 proofs in the entire library. So the axioms are completely user specified. There's as many axioms as you like. Even the concepts of well-formed formula, like and, implies, all of these things are added onto the system. They're not built into MetaMath itself. So you can have, if any of you know about Hofstadter's MIU system, there's an implementation of that in MetaMath that has very, very little to do with classical first-order logic or anything like that. So that's an example of how general foundations are. That's not what's used in set.nm because you have to actually commit to the foundation, but it is in fact that general. So the proofs are, as you saw in the first example, they're all formulas. So every proof is a first order logic statement. The sets are very small. It doesn't have to divide when you do everything. You specify what theorem you're applying and you specify exactly what substitutions you're making. And so if you were to make a comparison, it's sort of like C versus assembly, where it's working at a lower level. This means, though, that it's a good target for a sort of compilation from Mizar, from other proof languages. And this is one thing which I'd like to investigate, is being able to compile other languages via this proof export mechanism, which Jeff was talking about, to get something like that into MetaMask. And that would be fantastic. And so the QBD philosophy of an open source verifier, multiple verifiers, public domain proof is all here in the MetaMask system as well. It's a very flat system where, at least the way it's currently set, .nm is set up, set.nm is actually one file, it's like 200,000 lines. File, and although it's not necessary, like the MetaMath program can handle multiple pieces of a file, but it's not currently the way it's set up in the library. So all theorems are globally unique, and all theorems are accessible by any language. Yeah, so that's a big difference from the media way of like you can export something and other theorems are not available. And it's a filter itself system, so it doesn't do natural deduction. I'm going to show you how you can sort of fake it. But here's an example of some of the things which are which have already been completed in set.nm. These are theorems which I have personally written, and these are theorems which I have in some way. Usually that means that I didn't like the original proof and rewrote it from scratch. So All right, so a deduction proof is the generic style which deduction proofs work with. So these are the hypotheses of the theorem. So you usually can take any number of hypotheses as sort of pseudo axioms for a proof, and you're making a deduction proof in that sense. But in this case, I've bracketed each hypothesis with this in series phi and phi, and the phi sticks through the entire proof and comes out at the end to the conclusion. So you can do an assumption discharge using this method, and I want to show here how that works. So this is the main theorem. This is a sub-theorem, a lemma, and it has exactly the same hypothesis as this one. There's not one extra. It says that C is a positive real, and it proves that, this is a proof on the measure of a closed sample, and this is proving that the measure is less than any positive real greater than it. This is going to come from one half of the equality. And we're going to discharge this assumption. So this is part of this proof. And so we have the three assumptions, A in real, B in real, and A less than B. And it's added with X. And now here X is a set variable. And it's going to quantify over. So it's proven for an arbitrary X. And from this, it can conclude that it's true for all. So in order to move this in here and get an extra hypothesis, it replaces this phi with this expression here, phi and x being real. And because from this, it can prove, well, this is an assumption. And these three have been proven by discharging the x being real. And like from here, we can identify it. So that's the basic mechanism. And it's very simple. It doesn't add anything on top of what MetaMask already do. All it is a system for using the existing mechanism of just discharging hypotheses, and you can end up with a system which allows you to assume more and more things. You can discharge and as many hypotheses as you want. So this is the general mechanism as it's applied in MetaMask today. And the basis for it is going to be the deduction theorem. So this is the deduction theorem itself is just a theorem of classical logic, which justifies the way natural deduction is usually implemented. Here's the statement. So if gamma is some set of formulas from which you can derive, assuming also psi, from gamma and phi you can prove psi, then that must mean that you can also prove phi and phi psi. So the way this proof works is to modify each step in this proof to turn it into a step in this proof. This is a meta theorem. It's a theorem which acts on proofs, so you can't use it directly in MetaMask. But it is an algorithm, and you can apply it to a proof to produce an actual proof of this. So, so we work with actual proofs. We can't work with proofs of proof existence. But so efficiency max is not just good enough to know a proof exists because we're going to be using it. So it's important to have an efficient version of this. So the regular deduction theorem works on logistics formal proof. So, okay, so here's the proof. So we assume each step is an action or an inference rule. So really the only inference rule is mode exponent. And so each step, we replace the step with phi and phi of course. And we just tack on 5 and 5 each step, and then we try to figure out how we're going to improve these new versions of the sketch from each other. So if S is an axiom, or is one of the assumptions, which would not be subject, then this can be proven by simply adding on 5 and 5. And so this is a theorem. I'm just going to refer to the fact that you can prove S dot, you can prove 5 and 5 from S dot. That's a theorem called A1. I'm going to use that name. Okay. So if we have more components, apply from these two, then from this and this, you can prove it in 3 steps, and I don't want to show the actual proof, but it's called the most abundant induction form. Okay. And in 5 steps, you can prove, and I did show you this one earlier, a top theorem is, says that we can prove 5 and 5 to 5 with no assumptions. And so that's pretty much the entire proof. But the thing is, we just increase the number of steps by 3 times, because every single step got replaced by 3 steps. But it was a direct reaction proof, so good for logic, but not that good for us, because we don't actually use direct reaction proofs, they're useless. If we allow usage of these 3 things, we can decrease it to no increase in length, but that's not very fair, because we assumed that there were no theorems being applied to begin with, and now we've got theorems, so we can't apply it a second time. So now let's consider a more general case. So we have a whole bunch of theorems, they all refer back to each other, and so now we're going to count steps as the total number of steps in every theorem. We only count each theorem once, even though it can possibly be applied multiple times. So that means that we can potentially get this measure is exponentially less than, in the worst case, it can be exponentially less than the direct reaction count for a theorem which refers to many theorems multiple times. So we're going to construct a set of basic axioms which we'll need for this proof, including the 3% I mentioned before. We're also going to need A1I, which is 5 and 5 each axiom. Okay. So now we're going to just like before, we're going to put 5 and 5 before each axiom, or before each step of every single theorem in our theorem collection. So the result of all this work is going to be that if gamma is 5, then 5 and 5 gamma, where this is literally means 5 and 5 each, because gamma is a set formula, so this is 5 and 5 each formula in the collection, shows that 5 and 5 is not. To get the regular version, we have to do a little bit of extra work, as we saw before, with discharging this one using in and discharging these using in one. So the transformation is basically the same, but now we're only allowed to use 1 step proofs because that's the goal. So if SI was an axiom, then this is one of my things from A, because I just put every axiom with 5 and 5 before in. If we have an application of modus ponens, then this is deduction modus ponens. And if we're applying a theorem, then the new version of the theorem, which has all the hypotheses with a 5 and 5 before it, will now match the same step application, but it'll match the new version. So that covers it. And now the only increase in number of steps is due to those extra formulas from A, which is put in my collection because I needed to sort of bootstrap. But we have to change every single theorem in the collection in order to apply 1 deduction in 1 theorem. So that's not enough. So we're going to fix this problem by using the importation and exportation theorem. So it says that if 5 implies 5 implies 5, then these two end together can also show. So this sort of collapses this double deduction into a single deduction. So this is very useful. So I'm going to call a, this is a two deduction. Okay, so one of these is a one deduction. If every hypothesis has this before, then it's one deduction. If it has it twice, then it's two deductions. So if each, we want to, so we also want to keep the old version of the theorem because we don't want to go destroying the whole database every time we want to do a deduction. So, is that all and so the algorithm, it should be clear that the algorithm turns a two deduction into a one deduction, one deduction, two deduction, so on. So if we have a two deduction theorem, which is being used, we can turn it into a usage of the corresponding one deduction theorem by applying importation to each hypothesis and then importation on conclusion. And that should just collapse this and then use this as our find in the one deduction theorem. So the overhead on doing this is going to be one application of inf on each hypothesis and then a single application of x so that proportional to the number of hypotheses. So after that, we can get rid of all the two deductions because we didn't need them. We eliminated them from being referenced, so we can get rid of them, and then that means that it's not going to create a new theorem. If we apply it once, we get a bunch of one deductions. We apply it again, we get a bunch of two deductions, then we throw them away, so we don't get anything new. In a regular application, the only theorem which is not going to be a one deduction after this is the target theorem itself. And so the total overhead is just going to be proportional to the number of hypotheses of the theorem. And so here's the result is that if this is true in n steps, then we can prove this in n plus number of hypotheses in m plus a 1. So that's a big deal. It says that any Hilbert system can be emulated using only function overhead. So that means that Gentzen systems and Hilbert systems are not asymptotically different from each other. You can prove one in just a constant number, and even that constant is only due to, you know, your bootstrap. I mean, you're already going to have those theorems anyway. This gamma is bounded thing is a little bit interesting. So if you remember the example where the, actually I'll go back to it.
We might do something for the lunch because we got it right.
Are we running this right?
Yeah. Here.
Okay, so I had to apply this theorem three times for three hypotheses. If I had another sub-dilemma of this, which I added another one, I would have to apply four times. And then I have to apply five times if I kept adding on over and over and over again. So this can cause theoretically, it could cause a problem if you wanted to have a huge chain of, with, you know, a thousand hypotheses, that might be problematic. But generally, this is a tiny, tiny fraction of the actual proof itself. Should I?
Yeah, just go ahead to the end quickly.
Okay.
People technically.
Changing bound variable on the thing in the box. And so that.
One quick question before we do this here. So, I'm just, you've written an external user code to
somehow convert the natural deduction and cut and feed document nine?
No. Actually, this algorithm is sort of a justification for the system you saw earlier, which is what I use in practice. So this shows that the result of this deduction theorem sort of converges to this system, which is equivalent to the one which I actually use. So that's the reason for this usage of the deduction theorem is to show that this system is in fact in some sense optimal over against the system, like it's equivalent of modulo compensation.
So the next session is a different one called in this one.